is WWTC Minneapolis-St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. After a night of fear and grave concern, Israel hailing the success of its defenses in the face of that attack by Iran.
Israeli officials say they and their allies have intercepted 99% of more than 300 drones and missiles launched toward their territory. Officials also say Israel has sustained little damage. But tensions remain high. This amid fears of further escalation in the event of a possible Israeli counterstrike.
That is correspondent Andrew Stewart reporting. Now, the unprecedented attack by Iran has confirmed some long-held fears the Israeli-Hamas war could grow into something much larger. In the meantime, President Biden talking with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He says the United States will not participate in any action against Iran. This is SRN News.
Mark Levin can see what the left is up to.
The bottom line is that Joe Biden does not want an opponent in the general election. I want you to think about that. And the criminal law system is trying to deliver for him in Democrat cities, in Democrat states, and of course, the Democrats that run the Department of Justice, which means they don't want you to have a candidate that Joe Biden would win by default.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 8 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Everything's costing so much more these days. A great way to start saving money is with mndeals.com. Check out the website. Wonderful products and services around the area. Great way to save half, if not even more, on a lot of products. It's mndeals.com. From the JTR Roofing Weather Center, tonight's low around 47 degrees with clear skies throughout the overnight. Tomorrow for your Monday, mostly sunny, high of 72 degrees. Showers likely in the later evening into the overnights Monday night, with a low of 53 degrees.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air, live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
Of 8 of The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number two of the broadcast we like to call The Closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here taking phone calls, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NARNshow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show for comments or questions. And if you'd like to follow us along on Facebook, just do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network on Facebook. Give us a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And again, follow along in the live stream where we do have the comments section available to you to weigh in on any of the topics we discuss. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. Talking about a lot of national and world news in the first hour, I did want to get to one local issue in particular from the category of who could have seen this coming. Star Tribune headline, Minneapolis City Council votes to delay start of rideshare wage ordinance and Uber and Lyft's potential departure. Now, if you'll recall, the city council overrode Mayor Jacob Frey's veto of an ordinance where it says rideshare drivers in Minneapolis have to be charging minimum this much per mile in order to meet whatever minimum wage scale that they have settled on. And it was way above what was being charged currently. And Uber and Lyft said, well, that's cost prohibitive. If you do that, we may have to consider whether we want to be in the area or not. And, of course, the city council thought that Uber and Lyft was bluffing. Turns out they were not. Literally within hours of the city council overriding Mayor Frey's veto of that bill. And, by the way, when Mayor Jacob Frey is the voice of reason on something, you know you've kind of crapped the bed a little bit. Within hours of that ordinance passing or being over, Jacob Frey's veto being overridden, Uber and Lyft announced, okay, the day this goes into effect, May 1st, we're out of here. That's all there is to it. And apparently the city council thought they were bluffing. They were indeed not bluffing. So from the Star Tribune story, Minneapolis will delay the start of a new policy that sets the pay for drivers of Uber, Lyft, and other rideshare services. The Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously Thursday to push the ordinance's effective date back 2 months from May 1 to July 1. Council members praised the move, saying it would allow more time for new rideshare companies to start up and potentially fill gaps left by Uber and Lyft, which have pledged to leave Minneapolis once the ordinance takes place. I am confident that this small delay in implementation will lead to better outcomes for drivers and riders statewide and also lay a stronger foundation for a Minnesota rideshare industry that is more equitable instead of extremely exploitative, which it is now, said Councilmember Robin Wansley, who co-sponsored the original rideshare pay plan. Let me see if I can translate that for you. Yeah, we thought Uber and Lyft were bluffing when they said they'd leave the area. So we're just winging it at this point. I mean, honest to God, that statement is just a bunch of politician speak. It's just a word salad. It means absolutely nothing. And what this saga perfectly encapsulates government hubris. The vast majority of these people have never run nor worked for a private sector business, so they have no concept of basic economics. But nevertheless, they press forward with awful policies that will make goods and services far more expensive, assuming they even continue to exist, and less convenient for the citizens they purport to faithfully represent, all the while criticizing businesses who pass on higher costs to consumers. Because this reminds me of, remember Little Red Lyinghood, a.k.a. Jen Psaki, the former press secretary of the Biden administration? The Biden administration was looking to levy a significant corporate tax on big businesses here in this country. And she called it unfair and absurd that companies would increase costs for consumers in response to us taxing them more. It's like that. When you make a statement like that, you just show you have no idea how businesses work. You have no concept of basic economics. It's kind of like, this reminds me of so many instances of just complete government incompetence and ignorance. Remember back in, it was while Governor Mark Dayton was Minnesota governor. I think this was 2014-2015 time frame. They were looking to, proposing to raise the minimum wage, Minnesota state minimum wage. And there was a restaurant in particular, I think it was the Oasis Cafe in Stillwater. They, on their bills, put a minimum wage fee, basically saying we're charging this much extra. And they were, they were transparent about it. Say, hey, prices are going up. Here's why. So it lets people know if we got to pay, if our costs are going to go up, well, this is how it's going to have to be. We're going to have to pass on the cost of the consumers. And if you choose not to patronize us because of that, we understand, but we feel being transparent. And Mark Dayton pitched a fit. It's like, how do you think businesses stay afloat when you make their running their operations much more expensive? How do you think they stay afloat? Where do you think these costs just eat these costs and take them on out of the goodness of their heart? Do you not understand that these people who own, particularly small businesses, they're typically the ones that get paid last anyways? After they pay all the overhead and whatever else, then they finally pay themselves. So if you're going to continue to make it cost prohibitive to run their business, they either go out of business or they have to find a way to, increase revenue. And that's typically passed on to the consumer. This isn't rocket science. And yet these people look completely buffoonish when they try to spin the events, the unintended consequences of their awful policies. Well, for them, the consequences are unintended, but they're very much predictable for anyone who, has half a brain about economics. So this is something worth keeping an eye upon. All I know is that the city of Minneapolis, they've already been talking about some sort of public rideshare thing, government-run organization, which, you know, as Dennis Prager always says, anything the left touches, it destroys. I mean, look at public transportation in this area, particularly the North Star Rail, how much that's been over. I used to ride the North Star Rail when I worked in downtown Minneapolis, okay, because I live up in Ramsey. And it was heavily, heavily subsidized in order to make it affordable to the consumers. So if it's going to be the same concept for rideshare, okay, in order to meet the costs that's going to be required to run this, are the consumers going to even want to pay that much? So is this going to end up being subsidized too? Dylan, I tell you what, I got sent these sound bites along to you. If we have, and I apologize, my screen froze here. Cut number one. Yeah, we'll go with cut number one. So not only is this going to hurt the city of Minneapolis economically, and consumers just say, well, I don't go to downtown Minneapolis that much anyways. Don't really need to go down there a whole heck of a lot, you know, for my entertainment dollar. I'll just take it elsewhere. There's also another unintended consequence that they weren't thinking about. Senator Zach Duckworth, Republican out of Lakeville, brings forth another issue that I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Minneapolis City Council probably wasn't anticipating. Go ahead, Dylan, with that soundbite.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want it to be very clear and understood by my friends across the aisle, as well as Minnesotans in general, that this amendment is not an attack on any unit of local government by any means. This is an attempt for us as a legislature to lead, to be responsible, to govern sensibly, and to apply common sense to a situation that we find ourselves in that has the potential to negatively impact not just the city of Minneapolis, but the entire Twin Cities region, to include the entire state of Minnesota. So I'm hopeful, Mr. President, that all of my colleagues here in the Senate will vote green on this amendment so we can bring some certainty to the people of Minnesota, protect this valuable service that our most vulnerable populations rely upon, and finally put this uncertainty to rest. Thank you.
Yeah, he's exactly right. I mean, you have specific KSTP had a story about this, Connectability. They help thousands of Minnesotans with disabilities get rides through Lyft with the use of state waivers. Are they just kind of left to hold in the bag here now as a result? Didn't sound like they gave a whole lot of consideration to this. But again, they get in their minds that these Uber and Lyft drivers are being exploited, which I would venture to say the vast majority of these drivers do this as a side hustle. Okay? This was never meant to be a primary source of income. But yet, it's classic example of just progressive government. You know, I scare quotes around progressive government, where they try to find a solution to a problem that really doesn't exist. We only have a couple of minutes remaining. Is Mike still with us, by the way, Dylan? Okay, Mike from Minneapolis is on line one. Mike, got to have a couple minutes. Go ahead. You're on the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Yeah, thanks. I guess at what point do you look at what the government is doing where they're telling private businesses what to do? It looks to me like this is fascism. I mean, it's an ugly word, but it gets thrown in conservative spaces, but it looks like it's these progressive left-wing governments that have embraced fascism without even realizing that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. Thanks for the call. Not necessarily a word I will use. Of course, I won't prevent you from saying it. You're free to say what you like, of course. My thing is that if they would do the right thing in reverse course, they would probably, in some cases, be lauded and saying, okay, I'm glad you saw the error of your ways. Now let's come to a more equitable solution there. But it just seems like these people don't have any kind of self-awareness or ability to kind of look in the mirror and say, yeah, you know what? These awful policies actually are looking to make things worse because we're already hurting economically in Minneapolis. And now people who use Uber and Lyft to come down here, you know, for entertainment because they don't want to park in parking ramps because a lot of the venues they go to, they can't carry a firearm. So, you know, they want to get a ride share down there. You know, that's going to dry up. And then what? I mean, the place is already kind of a ghost town. My wife and I have gone to downtown Minneapolis. So we went a couple of times last year. I think we went to a Twins game and went to a concert and took an Uber to and fro. You know, we just parked at a place in St. Louis Park and took an Uber to and from, and it worked great. But place is a ghost town because people don't want to, you know, walk around in parking ramps because it's not very secure, not very safe. And then going to venues, you can't bring a gun into Target Field or Target Center or U.S. Bank Stadium, the places I would frequent if I ever go to downtown Minneapolis. So, yeah, I don't know, Mike. It has to be elected officials being willing to look in the mirror and say, oh, okay, this probably isn't the way to go about this. But instead, they got to cling to their worldview of these big evil corporations, and we can't let them run roughshod over us and the fine citizens of Minneapolis. So appreciate the call, Mike. And I did get a text message talking about how government rideshare means more union members. Yeah, I think that's probably a feature, not a bug, in the minds of some of these people. And it was pretty telling that Senator Omar Fateh, state senator out of Minneapolis, when this came about and Uber and Lyft were threatening to pull out if this ordinance went through, he said, don't worry. We've been already, myself and Senator Dibble and a few others, we've already been talking about a public rideshare company. So this has kind of seemed to have been in motion for some time now, that's for sure. So this has kind of been the proverbial exploding cigar in their face, and let's see if what they do to try to save face, shall we say. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NARNshow, that's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Or follow us along at our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. Brad Carlson, the closer, back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere. Since I could hold my head
up high. Water softener technology has come a long way. So if yours has seen better days, call Commerce Water. Right now, get $400 trade-in for your old water softener, and Commerce will haul it away. Call Commerce Water for a new softener. Commerce.com.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is Al Malmberg inviting you to join us on the World of Aviation each Sunday morning at 10:05, right here on 1280 The Patriot, as we talk with those who have had incredible life stories in aviation, like Jessica Cox, who was born without arms but went on to become a pilot and black belt in Taekwondo, and Gordy Lewis, who began flying when most people are retiring. Gordy started flying at the age of 67. That's every Sunday at 10:05 a.m., right here on 1280 The Patriot.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'm thrilled to share why Heritage Christian Academy holds a special spot in my heart. My wife Holly and I met at Heritage back in 7th grade, started dating in high school, got married, and have 3 kids. We appreciate and realize the sacrifices our parents made to send us to Heritage Christian Academy. The teachers, staff, and liberal arts Christ-centered education is top-notch. Our 3 daughters are so loved by their teachers and have developed deep friendships at school. They spend time every day with their peers, praying together and growing in a personal relationship with Jesus. Heritage Christian Academy has allowed our kids to discover their unique talents and God-given gifts. We really value the focus on character development. Heritage Christian Academy seeks to educate a generation of Christian leaders and is doing a wonderful job of it. We as parents are grateful to be able to partner with them in educating our girls. Discover for your own family Heritage Christian Academy in Maple Grove. Learn more at heritageweb.org. That's heritageweb.org.
Take your favorite Patriot hosts with you wherever you go by downloading our app. Listen to your favorite shows, see our social media posts, enter exclusive contests, and more. Just search for AM 1280 The Patriot in the App Store.
I am still living with your ghost. Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Back in studio for this edition of The Closer. You can also check out our blog, or my blog, bradcarlson.org. And you can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Or check out our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And always good to be joined in studio by a longtime friend of the broadcast, Peter Johnson, our firearms expert, as well as the founder of Archway Defense. Check out archwaydefense.com and follow him on Instagram, too. Peter's been traveling all over the country, it seems like, doing various trainings and exercises and whatnot. Peter, always good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for, as always, thanks for having me.
So we did. There are a lot of stories that come up with firearms in the news, and always want to get your reaction. We occasionally text back and forth. I think I even called you one time after the Houston shooting. You know, we talked a little bit. Thankfully, there was minimal damage on that, and that story disappeared because I think there was a Free Palestine on the gunman's gun.
Yeah, as soon
something along those lines.
Unfortunately, it's so predictable now that as soon as the narrative. A piece of evidence that contrasts the narrative pops up, that story disappears.
Well, I want to, we got a lot of different items that we want to get to. And I thought we'd do kind of a fun little exercise here, maybe play a little game where I'll play a sound clip. And you may have probably heard this. So, but even if you haven't, I'm very confident that you could give a very intellectual retort to this. So this is from the United States Attorney General Merrick Garland. Dylan, if we have cut number three ready, it's about a couple of minutes long. So the White House has been jonesing to pass an assault weapons ban and all sorts of other gun legislation. Of course, in the aftermath of Uvalde, you even had some Republicans join in and pass what President Biden called the most meaningful gun legislation at the national level in 30 years. Yet, whenever there's a mass shooting, it's like, we haven't done enough. So you can kind of see how that happens. But anyways, I digress. Dylan, if we have that ready, I'm going to let this kind of speak for itself and allow Peter to react to it. This is United States Attorney General Merrick Garland, cut number three.
Gun violence has devastated families across the country. For many, it has meant the loss of a parent, a child, a student, a fellow officer, or a friend. And for their communities, it has meant persistent grief and lasting fear. That is why the Justice Department is bringing every available resource and every authority we have to the fight against gun violence. Every day, FBI, DEA, and ATF agents and Deputy U.S. Marshals put their lives on the line to combat gun violence and bring to justice those responsible for it. Recently, ATF found that the flood of illegal guns into our communities is increasingly driven by individuals who sell guns without a license and who do not conduct background checks. Too often, these black market guns wind up in the hands of people who are not allowed to have them. Too often, these black market guns are found at crime scenes. And too often, these black market guns are responsible for heartbreaking tragedies. Today, the Justice Department is issuing one of the most significant gun regulations in decades. Pursuant to the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the regulation expands the definition of who must obtain a license and conduct a background check before selling firearms. It will also close the gun show loophole. Under this regulation, it will not matter if guns are sold on the internet, at a gun show, or at a brick-and-mortar store. If you sell guns predominantly to earn a profit, you must be licensed and you must conduct background checks. This regulation is a historic step in the Justice Department's fight against gun violence. It will save lives. There is still so much more to do. The Justice Department will not rest until every family, every law enforcement agent, and every community is safe from the devastation of gun violence.
Peter, you showed remarkable restraint during that whole two-minute-plus diatribe from the U.S. Attorney General. So we've heard this term utilized before. He didn't. I don't think he actually said the phrase, but gun show loophole.
Yeah.
What do they say? The gun show loophole, first of all, is not a thing, but yet it's a phrase that is thrown out constantly. What do they mean by gun show loophole? And can you dissect the error in their ways and saying gun show loophole, Peter
so
Johnson?
So what the argument is gun show loophole. One, it's generally used by people who've never actually physically been to a gun show. So there's that.
Correct.
So if you've ever been to a gun show, the dealers that are on have tables there, they will do 4473s, ATF form 4473s to purchase one. What they're trying to say is that if I go to a gun show, right, and I meet you at a table and we start chatting, and I say, oh, I've got a historic M1 Grand from it's a whatever serial number, and we're looking at that same table, and later you and I discuss a private transaction between us. As one collector to another,
right?
We're lawfully allowed to do that. That's what they're trying to convey. Well, they're actually not trying to convey that. They're simply using that very rare example and saying that gun shows, that if you go to a gun show, you can buy a gun without any documentation, which is completely false.
Correct, yeah.
The rare occasion would be a collector doing a private purchase, which any individual, depending on the state, of course, can sell to another person that they don't know, that they reasonably believe is allowed to have it, and then maybe some paperwork like, hey, what's your driver's license? Do you have a permit or something? And then you fill out a little agreement between you and then sign that, sell them the gun.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, the attorney general, he talked continuously about background checks. You must perform a background check, must perform a background check. Well, if you... Now, you can set me straight on this if I'm incorrect. If you were to engage in a private sale to someone of a firearm, like you just alluded to, and they commit a crime with that, aren't you somewhat liable for that?
Yeah, let's just take Minnesota for your listeners. So last time I checked, there's still a law on the books in Minnesota that if you sell a firearm privately to someone else, this has been on the books forever, that you are liable for anything that happens for up to a year. So it was designed to say, hey, if I don't just go randomly sell people a gun on Hennepin Street, right, out of the back of your car.
Right, right.
That if something happens with that firearm, there's a chance that if you were acting negligently and not doing due diligence on who you were actually selling it to, you're liable for what happens with that person, that firearm, for up to a year, which that's been on the books for, to my knowledge, decades.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is that the implication is always is that they, you know, they talk about background checks constantly. And as you alluded to, I mean, here in Minnesota, there's a couple-step process. First, when you go to your local jurisdiction to apply for a permit, you have to go through a background check.
Correct.
And when you go to your local gun store, it's like you can't just purchase a gun there. It's like, well, I got my permit. You see, this is good enough. No, you still have to get I know this from personal experience. So
you still have to fill out the ATF form 4473. Basically, everything he was saying was we're going to make a law on top of the other laws that already exist to tell people who are running guns to the black market that you have to perform background checks.
Yeah.
If somebody is buying guns illegally and then transferring them to criminal elements illegally, and then those criminal elements are committing crimes with them, again, illegally, do you think that they're going to apply for a new DOJ standard in the business of gun? Like a black market dealer, is he going to file the paperwork, be like, hey guys, I know I'm selling to Al-Qaeda right now, but I really don't want to be in trouble with the DOJ for unlicensed firearm sales. It's just it should be mocked. It's so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, nothing is more for lack of a better word, cringy than hearing these politicians, executive branch officials, and whomever else talking about gun regulations. We are always pleased to be joined in studio by Peter Johnson again. He, the founder of Archway Defense, Check them out, archwaydefensetalk.com, talking about all things firearms. Back with another segment on the broadcast. Me, Brad Carlson, 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Back in mere moments. Go nowhere.
We need your help. Hello, I'm Marianne Kuharski, director of Pro-Life Across America. In my 30-plus years, I've never seen such a concerted attempt to silence our efforts and at a time when it's most needed. There's a powerful effort to prevent and block our pro-life messages. Our billboards, social media, and digital ads are all impacted. Unplanned pregnancies still happen. Our ads feature a hotline number connecting callers with more than 3,000 pregnancy support centers across America, offering alternatives to abortion, free ultrasound, and pregnancy help. Babies' lives are being saved. The need still exists. It really does. And Pro-Life Across America needs your help. To donate, please find us at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
Did you know I could suck my thumb before I was born?
Yep, we all started small.
Let's move safely together, Minnesota. If you're behind the wheel, slow down and watch for people walking, day or night, and stop for people crossing the road. When you're out walking, be alert and look for vehicles in all directions before crossing the road. If you can, cross in a well-lit area. When we work together, everyone gets home safely. This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Brandon Tatum weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by Charlie Kirk at 7. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Are you ready to tackle your next project? Look no further than Sage Equipment Rental, your trusted partner for all your equipment needs. With a wide selection of top-quality equipment, SageEquipmentRental.com makes every job easier. From excavators, bobcats, to boom lifts, we've got the tools to help you get the job done right. SageEquipmentRental.com is offering a $2,000 rental certificate for $1,000. Don't wait. Finish that project. Go to MNDeals.com to claim the station's offer today.
This is Jane Robileau, co-host on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. When it comes to supporting local food banks or raising money for those in need, our listeners know they can count on this station to lend a helping hand. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio monthly for community connection. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio remains free in vehicles. If you value this station, help ensure it stays in vehicles for the next generation by visiting dependonam.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. This is me, Brad Carlson. Thanks to all for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, where you can leave a comment or question and follow the live stream if you so desire. And as always, we thank you for tuning in. Again, joined in studio by our resident firearms expert, Peter Johnson, founder of Archway Defense. Follow him on social media, whether it's at Archway Defense on Twitter or Instagram, and then his website, archwaydefense.com. Peter, one of the things we were talking a little bit about this past week from Detroit, I'll just read the quick CBS News story. James and Jennifer Crumley, the parents of the Oxford High School shooter, were sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison after being found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. The parents will receive credit for a little over 2 years served. In the historic case, the parents were the first in the U.S. to be held responsible for their roles in the shooting, where their son killed 4 students and injured 7 other people in the Oxford High School shooting on November 30th, 2021. This comes after the separate trials of James and Jennifer Crumley, where they were both convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Now, Peter, I've heard a lot of back and forth about this particular case. Some say, well, this is a, you know, Second Amendment issue. The young man, you know, had the, even though he was only 15 years old, had the right to own a handgun. I mean, parents buy their kids guns if kids are being bullied. You know, they have a right to self-defense too. Others are saying, well, he very clearly was disturbed. In fact, my understanding, and I don't know if you've heard this, Peter, that he had put together, he did some sort of graphic where he was depicted murdering his fellow students and saying, these thoughts won't leave my head. And then sure enough, his parents bought him a firearm, and literally hours after the parents were called into school to address the son's behavior, he killed four students. How do you see this? Is this a Second Amendment issue? Is this a slippery slope, or do you think the parents got their just due?
So let's look at it in the totality of what has happened in similar court cases, because as the element of law, you look at what is the pattern. So did they act reasonably? There can obviously be an argument to say no, that there were warning signs, and if you didn't do something, there's an argument there. Now, what I find interesting is, so I believe they were sentenced, correct me if I'm wrong, but 10 to 15 years, give or take?
Yeah. Yep.
What I haven't seen historically within the courts is, let's take Pulse Nightclub, the Pulse Nightclub attacker. The widow was acquitted on all charges. The widow, she knew about it. She participated in some of the planning. There's text messages.
The widow of the Pulse shooter?
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't heard this, but okay.
So, and she even, what was her Google search? Something to the effect of looking up after the attack of the benefits that a Mujahideen widow could receive.
Okay.
Do you think that was a completely innocent party in the conversation, that she's looking up a martyr of jihad as a wife? What does she get out of that?
Okay. Interesting. I hadn't heard that one. Angle of it. Yeah.
So she was acquitted. So fair enough. And there's an argument. Okay. Maybe she should have. Whatever. Then you say the wife of the Boston Marathon bomber. And this is the one, I apologize. This is the one who looked up what are the rewards of wives of Mujahideen?
Okay, I don't think the Pulse nightclub shooter was married, so.
No, he was.
Was he? Okay.
Yep.
But you're saying the wife of the Boston Marathon shooter was doing these Google searches. Okay.
So then you're saying, okay, well, does that, and this is all documented, does that mean that she is now guilty of manslaughter because she helped participate in the process of getting, facilitating the attack in one way or another because of the family members? Then you look at even what more recently, a little more raw of a topic, but in Burnsville, the woman who provided the guns for the attacker that killed two cops and one firefighter and shot other cops in Burnsville, she's not getting charged with manslaughter. She's getting charged with federally for straw purchases.
Right.
Who's more culpable? Did she not have any warning signs? What I'm concerned with is, where is the historic precedence within the courts for charging somebody with manslaughter for acting negligently? And I'm not defending the parents. I'm asking a legal question of, why is it selective prosecution on the parents on this one?
Is it just a matter of, say, legal officials' discretion? I mean, to your point, there probably could have been a more expansive charges brought against some of the perpetrators that you just named, or some of those who were maybe co-conspirators, but for whatever reason, legal officials decided not to bring charges. Maybe they felt, well, they're going to get enough on these charges as it is, and so therefore it's not worth bringing up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. All I know is that, and this is, you know, and again, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with red flag laws being proposed, simply because they could be rife for abuse.
Obviously, yep.
So with this particular instance, if this young man is sending out very clear signals that he has a desire to kill his classmates and these thoughts aren't leaving his head, and his parents were aware of this and knew for a fact he owned a firearm because, well, they bought it for him, I don't see how you get around not alerting authorities saying, hey, our son, or even the school.
Correct.
They didn't even alert the school.
Correct.
Because literally 4 hours after they met with the school, he committed these atrocities. So, again, while I'm uncomfortable with red flag laws, I think the spirit of them, I hate, you know, I don't know if I hate to say it, but may have been something that could have served this incident well, Peter John.
So I'm gonna disagree on the red flag laws, because we have plenty of, one thing our governing bodies are very good at is creating a plethora of laws.
Oh, no question.
Let's take, if you break a law, or if there's probable cause that you broke a law, then that's a crime and you can act on it. So let's take, in Minnesota, like terroristic threats. Well, a reasonable person could say that his documenting a plan to go kill students is hitting that threshold. Now you can take enforcement action, which has due process.
Right, right.
That alone could have stopped the whole spiraling. Now, by no means, while I'm discussing this, am I defending the parents' actions?
Oh, I know you're not. Yeah. I know you're not. Yeah.
Just for the listeners, what I'm asking the question of is the legal precedence. Did they act reasonably in parenting their kid and with those massive warning signs, what we call spiraling?
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously spiraling. It was just getting worse and worse. And every time that those indicators came up, it was a psychological way of him asking for help or somebody to intercede. And no one did. Now, he's still culpable. He's the one who made the decision, et cetera, et cetera. They're obviously culpable for negligence as parents, not doing anything else. But the fact that they didn't notify the police, be like, hey, can you, we're worried about, he's threatening to kill people. That's a crime. You can't threaten to kill people in the U.S. I don't care what state you're in. You can't threaten to kill people. That's against the law. So their failures are on that point. My question is simply, I look at it more from the law enforcement legal background of criminal justice. Why did it start on this one? Now, could they
That's
be charged
fair.
With something?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's just the selective prosecution is what I'm a little concerned with.
Yeah, and we talk about anytime there's been a spree killing with a gun, we've talked about it a lot. It's like, look, there are already laws on the books that should have prevented this particular shooting, and for whatever reason, they weren't enforced, they were ignored. I mean, we talked about the Sutherland Springs, Texas shooting, church shooting a number of years ago, where the shooter was convicted of, I believe, domestic violence, but for whatever reason was not logged in the database, so he was able to pass a background check.
Yeah, so
the point is, there are I agree with you, there are plenty of laws on the books. It's like, well, we need to make more laws. Well, no, if you just follow the existing ones, a lot of these would be prevented. And, you know, we talked about the straw purchases. You know, our legislators here in Minnesota were trying to make penalties stiffer for straw purchases last year before this Burnsville shooting.
They turned it down.
Yes.
I forgot, the former Hennepin County attorney.
Mike Freeman,
he testified under oath
yes.
that he did not charge people with straw purchases because it was simply a misdemeanor.
Right.
He purposely said that he did not go after people arming people they knew they could not own guns. He was allowing people to have guns that he knew can't have them. And he didn't do it because he's like, oh, it's so low of a charge. Who cares?
Yeah. And obviously, as I say practically every week on the show, short of implementing some sort of Tom Cruise Minority Report style of law enforcement, you're not going to prevent these. So why wouldn't you take the steps to, disincentivize people from doing this? I mean, I mean, this woman, I don't know the circumstances, but it sounded like, because, she was abused by this person before, yet she still curried favors for him. So that's a classic example of battered spouse, where they're basically submitted to their abuser. And so therefore, he probably convinced her, the penalties, if you do get caught, really aren't that stiff. We'll try to keep this under wraps as much as possible, but penalties really aren't that stiff. Now, if they were much more harsh, I'm not saying it would have worked in this case, but in some cases, it would have probably provided enough disincentive to say, you know what, it's just not worth how many ever years in jail to do this. But yet, for whatever reason, here in the state, it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. With the Burnsville case, we know, based on the text messages, she was well aware that he could not have guns.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing that, she still went out and acquired firearms for him that were ultimately used in killing police officers.
She wrote a letter on his behalf trying to get his firearms rights restored.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely she was aware. I mean, you've seen the text message. The text messages where he did the shh emoji about, him showing off these guns.
Yeah. And living with him, there's videos of that individual who will go nameless
I forgot his name already, yeah, so that's good. So.
Shooting, I think it was a BB gun or something in the basement, talking about how much he hates white people. I don't know if I sent you that video, but...
Yes, I did see that.
There's no way that she didn't know this guy had massive problems of some sort. She obviously knew he was a criminal. She obviously knew he was prohibited from owning a firearm, and she did it anyway. And then you have politicians speaking out of both sides of their mouth saying, we need to end gun violence, yet doing nothing to actually hold real criminals accountable for breaking the law. I mean, it goes down to Chicago. Let's go back to Chicago, that individual who tried to shoot the multiple Chicago PD officers and ultimately got killed. He was out on a gun charge. He was literally arrested for a different gun charge, and he was back on the street.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll definitely cover that one. In fact, we do need to take a break, so that's good timing, Peter Johnson. We will cover that in the last segment here. And, again, we do have time for a phone call or two, 651-289-4488. Also, questions via Twitter, hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag NARN Show. Or the live stream of our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. Yeah, that's up and running. Back with firearms expert Peter Johnson. One final segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Record-setting four-time Emmy Award winner Michelle Tafoya discusses politics and the state of our culture, free from mainstream media pressures. That means you'll find unhindered commentary and astute observations that bring greater depth to the topic at hand. Insight from subject matter experts and thought leaders round out the conversation. The Michelle Tafoya Podcast, free on YouTube or stream via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Join the Patriot Freedom Fan Club for prizes, contests, quizzes, and more. Plus, get exclusive access to pre-sale tickets to events. It's free to join. So visit AM1280ThePatriot.com today.
Hey, welcome back. AM1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget the live stream of our broadcast. It is up and running at the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. As always, we thank you for tuning in and always appreciate the time of Peter Johnson. He, the founder of Archway Defense and our resident firearms expert, talking about some newsworthy items in the firearms community this past week. Peter, as we alluded to before we went to the break, a motorist in Chicago was pulled over by police. And if you read headlines, honest to God, you read the headlines, the good majority of them said a black motorist killed by Chicago police after police fired 96 shots in 41 seconds. I'm not a journalist, but I think the phrase is burying the lead. I think is what that's called. That's narrative journalism, which we've bagged on here on this show many a times. But it seems to me the media is trying for another George Floyd saga, and this was hardly an innocent victim, Peter Johnson.
No. So for the listeners, you've heard the 41 seconds. That's a really interesting one they keep bringing up. By them, I say the media and talking heads, whatever, pundits. 41 seconds, great. So while we were on break, I was curious, from the time the body cam started and the first officer approached the front left side of the driver's door, or the front left headlight,
yep.
So not even at the door yet,
right.
Which means they'd already initiated the stop, so we can say at least 30 seconds before that. From the time they were there on the that front quarter panel to the time they got to the door and the time the first round fired, which was from the suspect, it was 31 seconds. So here's the question. If the cops were just trying to shoot this guy, why didn't they start shooting? Why did they wait 31 seconds to shoot him and then shoot him for 41 seconds after that? The whole narrative is just so it should be mocked because it's so stupid at this point. They are trying to create a victim mentality out of a known gangbanger who is recently out on gun charges.
Yeah, and part of the narrative journalism is a lot of the photo ops are this young man with his family, you know, his high school graduation, where he's smiling and looking dapper in his cap and gown, and they played video, and they've also played video of his mother after her son was killed. And you know what? I'm not going to criticize that. A mother who loses a child, I don't care what your child has done, that is going to be just to say the least, a devastating event in their lives, and this woman broke down. But my point is they are exploiting that footage and attaching it to this motorist was killed, black motorist, 96 shots, 41 seconds. But if you read further, he shot first.
He literally,
that'll usually get you fired back upon, Peter Johnson.
There's a, and I won't say it on air, but an FAFO concept,
yes.
Which is he decided to get in a gunfight with multiple cops.
Right.
And he lost.
Yes.
He's an idiot. I can't. Whatever this guy's story was, I can't act like I have sympathy for him. He was told by attack unit, and people say, oh, they were in plain clothes. You can clearly see in body cam there are multiple officers there wearing CPD vests and stuff like that. But he had the chance for over 31 seconds to not pull a gun and shoot. And
right,
then
right.
After 31 seconds, he pulled a gun and shot. And then for 41 seconds, he got shot at.
And again, I think this is also another indictment maybe on our justice system. I mean, wasn't he out? Wasn't he recently released on a gun charge? Or what was
correct.
The circumstances?
Let me pull that up right now. Yeah, so right before I came out today, I was looking up his criminal history. And to my knowledge, he was released on a pending gun charge.
Okay.
So, again, back a criminal with a gun illegally in Chicago was let back out on the street. And then, lo and behold, gets into a shooting with cops.
Yeah, and of course, this is and another thing that they attach to this is the pretextual stops. It's like, I think in Ramsey County, I think they were even trying to ban them for, you know, like if you have expired tabs or something hanging from your rearview mirror, which sadly got the young man in Brooklyn Center shot. I think it was because he had something hanging from his mirror. I don't remember. But whatever it is, it was a pretextual stop, and they found out he had outstanding warrants.
Warrants.
But I don't know why you're bagging on the pretextual stops. It's not like they're stopping these people thinking, oh, let's stop this black man on the off chance that he might have a record, then we can reel in a big one. I mean, I don't understand the mentality behind that.
Here's something for listeners that maybe they don't understand about law enforcement work. There's things that we call frequent flyers, and you literally know them driving down the street, and you see them.
Right.
And you're like, oh, does John Doe, whoever it is, do they have a warrant out still? Because I know they're connected with this gang, and they've been shooting up this, and he's a suspect in this, and blah, blah. So attack unit would obviously know the frequent flyers around there. If they have contact or reason to stop a car based on their local jurisdiction, they'll use that reason to stop the car of a frequent flyer if they think there's a warrant on that car.
Okay.
But they still need a reason to stop the car.
Well, of course, naturally. Yeah.
Especially if there aren't plates on it or anything else to identify. You have to find a justifiable reason to stop the car. You ID the driver, and then lo and behold, yep, it is John Doe. Yes, he has warrants. Get out of the car. You know it, right? And that is a normal tactic in problem-oriented policing, where you're going out. You already know there's a list of people with warrants, violent felony warrants, or frequent, we'll just say frequent flyers. And then you're using the traffic code to stop an ID to make sure that that is actually the person you think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, look, I don't understand, you know, this again, you know, for all of the pearl clutching and grand offense that the media takes when Donald Trump dubs them as fake news or the enemy of the people, it's like the lack of self-awareness here is like, do you not understand how headlines posed this way is going to inflame tensions? I mean, it's almost as if that they are looking back at 2020 as their journalistic heyday, where they were on the ground, and while things were smoldering in the background, they're calling it fiery but mostly peaceful. It's like, do you not understand how this can inflame tensions? And they don't even seem to acknowledge their own role in this. That's what's probably the most despicable of all this.
I think you're more generous than I am, because at this point, you couldn't make these mistakes so frequently and so consistently to be just incompetent at your job.
Yeah.
There has to be a willfulness to the deception.
Or how do these headlines even pass muster? I mean, aren't there editors anymore? I mean, I get it. We're delving off into a different topic.
But it is the same topic. At the end of the day, it's what is the truth? What is the capital T truth around this scenario? What happened?
Once again, joined in studio, Peter Johnson. He, the founder of Archway Defense. Check out their fine work, archwaydefense.com. Peter, it always goes way too quick. We'll look forward to having you on again. And have a great rest of your weekend. We appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you for having me, sir.
AM 1280, the Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week.
Closing time. Turn all of the lights on.
Hi, this is Ralph Dollinger, the founder and president of Capital Ministries. I have the privilege of leading the Senate and House member Bible studies in Washington, D.C. every week. And I'm also the host of the new weekly radio program heard here on this station called Capital Ministries Weekend. I invite you to listen along every week as we discuss the crossroads between what the Bible says and political thought for today.
Listen to Capital Ministries Weekend Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1280 The Patriot.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where, for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
You aren't the only one who enjoys listening to Salem Media Group.
Everybody at Salem Media Group, you've been incredible. You really are, and you're very popular. More popular than you would even know.
We'd say you're in pretty good company.
And in Salem, what the job you do is great. I'm telling you, Salem has really done a fantastic job. I just want to thank you. You have courage. You have really courage, because I know it's not easy. Congratulations.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most.
Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
AM 1280, the